monthly meeting to order. I would look around the table and see that we have most of the supervisors present with the absence of Supervisor Rodriguez. We have one of our youth and governance out of two. Thank you for being here this evening. Call to order, roll call. Approval of minutes from previous meetings. Now, I didn't get those. Did they go out, Wendy?
Yeah.
Yes.
They did. So I didn't see them, so I can't comment. Motion approved.
Second.
All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Minutes are approved from last month.
And was that the minutes from the budget meeting as well? I sent those two sets of minutes. So that's both?
Where did your motion to include?
My motion included both of them.
Okay.
Thank you.
I agree.
Second, you weren't the second, but that's okay.
No, I agree that that's what he had said.
Okay, sorry. So we're all good to go. No, I'm just kidding.
Thank you.
A little bit of joviality there. Chairman, committee members, supervisors, youth and governance comments. I have none at the present time. And the supervisors would like to make a comment. This is your opportunity. Supervisors, youth and governance.
I will say, I just want to thank everybody for everybody's agreeing and movement of the Human Services Building going to 52nd Street. So thank you for everybody's support on that.
Any other supervisors' comments? Seeing none, we have citizens' comments that are now open for comment. If there's any citizens in the audience who would like to speak or comment, seeing none, we can move on. We're at division reports, and on my agenda, the first one is highways for Clement. Is that correct?
Yep, and there's a resolution actually I'd like to take up first, Mr. Chairman. I put this one together, the resolution authorizing. This is basically the last loose end from the Highway F project, which involved the town of Randall and the village of Twin Lakes. If you recall, about 2 years ago, we did an IGA with them that after the F project was complete, we were going to tie up a bunch of loose ends in that in kind of the area that was affected by that project, and then jurisdictionally transfer old Highway F, the section that we wanted to abandon, to the village, pieces of it to the village, pieces of it to the town, and there's certain sections that get vacated to the surrounding property owners. And basically the resolution, if you had a chance to look at it, it outlines in kind of minute detail, this is the format that the DOT wanted us to use, there's a little spreadsheet right on the resolution that shows the specific section and the how much it encompasses. And then there's a map that corresponds to it that's attached. And basically, this resolution is the last piece of the puzzle. The town passed a resolution last week. The village passed theirs the week before to take these pieces from us. And so now it's just up to us to do our piece. And then all three resolutions from the town, the village, and us go to the DOT. It should be the complete package of information necessary for them to jurisdictionally transfer old Highway F, which is 89th Street, to the town and to the village, and certain sections get vacated to the property owners because there's sections where the property owner had both sides of the road. They had property on both sides, so now the road is vacated to them. So that's basically what the resolution is for. And hopefully everything's outlined pretty straightforward in the resolution.
So you're saying Randall and Twin Lakes have already approved their part of this?
Yep.
Assuming that we approve it here this evening, where does it go after that?
It would go on to finance on Thursday night and then on to the full board next Tuesday.
Okay. Very well. Yeah, this has been quite a nice little project in terms of how it first kind of looked rather, I don't know what you want to call it, otherworldly and kind of out of place just in terms of the contours and the elevations. And obviously the finished project is really quite a, I think, a good thing. I think the neighbors were a little bit skeptical at first. They seem to be on board with it at this point. And it certainly is more efficient setup than we've had in the past. So let's do this. I'll ask for a motion first of all.
Motion.
Second. Bell first, Belsky second. And then we can have discussion. Any discussion on this matter? Supervisor Franco.
Thank you. When you say vacated to the, let's see, what was it?
vacated to the owner, like the road. What exactly do you mean by that?
So, to give you an example, it's a statutorily defined kind of a thing.
Uh-huh.
So, Five Star. If you know where Five Star Auto Body is out there, they make the NASCAR mm-hmm. auto bodies and so forth. They have both the north side of Old Highway F, and they have a campus on the south side.
Mm-hmm.
And so the chunk of Highway F that in between, since they own both sides, we literally vacate that, and it becomes part of their property. And so then they're responsible for taking care of it going forward. We no longer have any responsibility for it.
The actual road itself is their property?
The actual road is itself, yep.
Take a look at the map.
I did see the map.
It's
yeah,
the blue. It's the blue.
Yeah.
So basically now it's like a driveway for them.
Right, it's part of their campus. Actually, for them it worked out really good because now they have employees that used to cross the road when traffic was there. Now it's literally part of their campus, so it worked out really well. The other area is by the Triangle Bar. There's one leg of that triangle. The road's split in half. Half of it goes to Gokey Well Drilling that owns the business on the south side of the road, and the Triangle Bar owns the north side. So the road literally, half of it goes to Gokey, half of it goes to, it's not Gokey, it's Gehring. There's two well drillers out there. So that's what happens. And then we no longer have any responsibility. They're responsible for those sections of property now.
Supervisor Palmerville.
So what about like plowing and road repair and that kind of stuff?
Right. We no longer have responsibility for it. So anything that's vacated is on the private landowner, and anything that's jurisdictionally transferred is on that municipality.
And by the Triangle Bar, that was a rather problematic area in terms of accidents and this, that, the other thing, correct?
Right. It was kind of a logistical, clunky thing, yeah.
Then you look at the other part of it, the bigger piece of it, County O, if you follow it north, goes right to Highway 50.
Mm-hmm.
That intersection has been signalized, and there's actually stop and go lights there. So really, maybe it's a bit overbuilt right now. There's a backstory to that, but whatever. It is built for the future. I mean, we're looking at the infrastructure is there for as the area develops. That's in place, so I think it's a good thing.
Okay.
Any other supervisors' comments?
I'll just say I think it's an outstanding job. It looks great, and it feels safer.
Thanks.
Seeing no more comment, all those in favor signal lines by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed, same sign. Seeing none, motion carries unanimously. Thank you, Mr. Arbor.
And then in terms of brevity, we were hoping, because Clement's report is typically the longest because he's got the most going on, but we're just thinking to make sure that we get through everything tonight. He could go through it and maybe just hit the bullet points, and rather than rereading it, just if the committee's got any questions, they can ask on each bullet point as he walks through it. Maybe that'll keep us, because there's a couple other resolutions we got to get to.
Yeah, I just wanted to recommend that I'll just talk only about Highway H, because it's completed and we had ribbon cutting last Friday, and it was well attended. For the other ones, most of the projects that are ongoing now are completed, and the other ones are either getting design or right of way acquisition state. So I believe, yeah, if you're ready, if you have questions, I'll be happy to answer them.
That's a record.
I'm usually short, but it's really not makes us go far.
So I understand that Highway 50, west of the I, west frontage road to County O, they will be wrapping their construction off by Thanksgiving, is that correct?
Correct.
So you can alert your...
That's what they say. That's what it is.
That, of course, is a state job. We don't have a whole lot of control over it. It's done by contracts through the state. They're doing some grinding out there with some diamond cutting machinery. So if you're West End constituents, you can alert them, and hopefully by Thanksgiving that will be put to rest for the winter. So. I think that's anything new on State Highway 32. South Sheridan Road down there by the job center and so forth, are they making progress with that, or what are they doing?
just as I reported in the, I reported in the report, yeah, it's just ongoing. They have some challenges with material delays, so they're not really sure whether they can meet their deadline at the end of the month or meet this month.
Very good. Any questions for Clement in terms of some of these projects?
I just have a comment.
Supervisor Belsky.
I just want to say thank you to Clement and to Ray for addressing the railroad tracks on Highway L. I almost took my front end off my car because the railroad did not do a very good incline and decline, and so I appreciate your efforts to take care of this at the county level. Thank you.
If there's nothing else, we can move on to the next agenda item.
And Dan is not here, so I'm going to fill in for him.
Okay.
Just fairly briefly, they've had a number of great events in the month of October. All were pretty much sold out. This past weekend, Dan stopped in just to let me know that this past weekend they had ran out of carts yesterday and were close to running out on Saturday, so it was a real busy weekend. You know, the weather sounds like it's going to turn south, and they are planning. We got best course in the Kenosha News thing, again, for pets, ninth year in a row. And Brightdale's one of the honorable mentions. Bristol Oaks and Us is honorable mention. Tentatively set, we're planning on shutting down Brightdale Links Friday the 19th, because that's right before deer hunting. And with being next door to Bong, that's what we've done the last few years in the spirit of safety. We'll keep pets open. As long as it's forecast to be above 40 degrees on weather.com, we're going to keep the course open. He is, though, getting ready in the inside at Pets to start their special holiday golf clearance sale of equipment and clothing and stuff that's left from the season, as well as, talks about on the next page, they're going to get the simulator set up in there as well. We plan on having two simulators operating this year at Pets. Last year was a banner year. It really took off, and the thing was booked pretty fully last season, so they want to add a second one this year. And then some of the winter maintenance in the courses, they've done some core aeration on the blue course. I know that they're blowing the irrigation system out. Today it started, and all this week they'll finish blowing all the irrigation lines out. You have to blow out all the water so none of it stays in there potentially to freeze and do damage. So they're doing it there, and then Thursday and Friday they're going to do it at Pets. So everything will be winterized. They've already got like snow mold chemicals down on the greens, and they're ahead of schedule. So things are in good shape. And you talk about winterization, and they'll continue to work on Pets cart path restoration, the edges of that, as well as some tree removal out at Brightondale. And we'll do brushing over the winter as well. But that's pretty much everything Dan's got going on in golf.
Jim, I know that most of the results at this point would be unaudited for golf. It's still early in the season. We haven't closed out. Generally, when do we get that information, or when do you get the information of the final numbers from golf? Is that happen this year or is it next year?
We won't know till it's closed, or until the year's over for sure, because they're open still.
So it's the calendar year?
Yeah. Okay. So I can tell you it's a good year. It's similar to last year.
Yeah.
Sales are $4 million, just like they were the year before.
Right.
Before that, our record was 3.1.
Right. So that's,
and we're making money and adding money to the reserve, just like we told you at budget time. So it was another really good year.
Right. But if we were to be asked by this entity, that entity, if we said January, February to final numbers by then, is that correct?
I can't tell you the date because the finance department is the one who's got to release it.
Right.
But yeah, we know pretty well right at the end of the year what happens.
Okay.
Yeah, January, February. Mm-hmm.
Supervisors, questions, comments for golf? Seeing none, thank you for the report, Ray, for golf. Let's move on to the next agenda item. Mr. Mike?
Mr. Chairman, three projects to report on. First one is KCDC isolation shower modification. The work is substantially complete and should wrap up completely by November middle. Second one is Brookside Sprinkler Pipe Replacement Project. And that one is complete, so that'll be off the list. The third one is the Courthouse Washroom Remodeling Project. Two lower level washrooms are done, and the two first floor ones remain and will start after the trial.
report.
Questions for Mr. Schramm? Go ahead, Supervisor Belsky.
Was that detention center isolation shower, that was the one that was going to be put in front, right? In the front of the building?
No, this was taken out, a shower stall that was a tub and a shower combined, like you'd have at home.
Oh, okay.
And they put in penal type stainless steel shower stalls.
Oh, I think that I'm getting it confused with intake. Okay. Okay, thanks.
I wanted to ask about the remodel of the, what would it be, joint services locker room. It was in some type of decrepit condition. Is that your project or is that Frank's?
So there, yeah, there is. That did not make the cut for this year, for the 22 budget. It wasn't in there. And the reason we didn't put it in there, we had it proposed at the administration level, but the city was not going to be able to provide their chunk for it, so we pulled that out of the 22 budget. It wasn't in the 22 budget that we presented to, that Jim presented to the board. We had it in there in August and September, but then when we met, they met with the city to go over kind of these things that are joint projects, and those were the ones. I don't know what else. There were other things that got funded, but I know that the joint services ones didn't get funded, none of the joint services stuff.
This is my understanding that it's pretty decrepit and in need of remodeling. Is that correct?
It's pretty rough.
It's ready.
Yeah, it's ready. It's original. So it's the men's locker room. The women's locker room is in pretty decent shape yet because we did that when we did put the addition on. Mm-hmm. We made expanded that and remodeled it, but the men's is the original.
So from a budgetary standpoint, what is the prorated division between city and county on a project such as that?
So that was about, off the top of my head, about a $750,000, $800,000 project to do. And it would be split about, if I'm going to say 50-50, close enough.
Yeah, 46 approximately. Yeah, somewhere between 48, 60, and 50-50.
So what it came down to is administratively, the city of Kenosha decided that they were not able or willing to fund it for this budgetary cycle. Is that it?
Right. They weren't going to be in a position with the other things they had on their plate.
Okay.
Yep.
Sounds like an ARPA agreement to me.
Well, that ARPA money, you think you'd be able to figure something out.
And that was the joint services?
Joint services, the men's locker room.
Yeah, there was actually a few. That was the main thing, because that was the one that was talked about the year prior, but there were a couple other joint services projects that were in that hopper as well.
Okay.
Do you have a copy of it?
I can get you something. I can get you a breakdown on what were the pieces. Yep.
Thank you.
Any further questions for Mr. Mike Schramm and facilities? Seeing none, thank you for your report, Mike. We'll see you next month. And where's Mr. Martinelli?
He's right here. He's on vacation this week. So first let's do the, if we could, Mr. Chairman, we'll do the letter to finance. I'll let Jim cover that one. That's
he's not ready.
Oh, okay.
Okay, you should all have a letter to finance, and the purpose of the letter is to repurpose some capital funds from the, y'all know that we're doing a security project here on the basement, first floor, the second floor, to kind of like improve the security between the outside and the inside on all these floors. And we had in the original budget $209,000. When the bidding went out, the bidding came back. By the time they made a few, there was one small, about a $25,000 scope change to put some film on some of the glass. If somewhere to break it, instead of the glass coming in, this film keeps it from coming in. So that was about a $25,000 or $30,000 change. So the total cost went up over $100,000. And the rest of the cost is apples to apples what they were going to do, but the costs have gone up that much in either labor or supplies. So in order to come up with this extra $116,000, we have some money left over. There's a project that we had in there for the last couple of years to remodel the district attorney and juvenile intake areas that are in pretrial. And we had a $450,000 budget for this. And when they actually did the bidding and did some, they call it value engineering, they came up with a savings. There's $130,000 left in there. So we want to take that $130,000, use it for these security measures here, and if whatever money is left over just goes back to the general fund. So that's what this project is.
So is that for both administration and Molinaro?
It is actually the original project where Jim indicated the money's coming from was a Molinaro project. That's where the district attorney's office is. The money that's left over from that project was to be repurposed so we can do the counters in this building, okay, in the basement, first floor, second floor, and then additionally to cover that window filming of this building and in the safety building as well. So the whole enchilada, the low bidder, we had $209,000 figured, was estimated for this security project, and the low bid was Bukacek out of Racine, I believe off the top of my head, is about $280,000.
It was $290,000.
$290,000. That was low bid.
And that came in October, last month the bids came in, right?
Just came in last month, okay. Yeah.
So the security film for the windows, is that all for exterior, or is that any interior windows as well?
That will be the glass that's going to go in the counters is, I hesitate to use the word bulletproof, but it's similar, it's close to that grade. There's nothing that's bulletproof per se, bullet resistant is the term they use. That's what the counters are going to have inside. And the filming will be put on the inside of the exterior windows, but it'll do what Jim said. If somebody tries to bust in, okay, it'll prevent or at least delay that from happening.
Very well. Questions or comments about this particular item? Supervisor Nudo.
Yeah, can you explain letter to finance, what does that mean?
So I can give an overview. So the basic concept is, for certain categories of financial things, if they're in, and Jim will know the terms better than me, if they're in like the facilities budget, it's not coming like from highways into facilities, they're in that budget, and we can move money within projects if there's money that's left over in one by just taking a letter to finance for approval if they meet certain requirements, that he can give you a little bit more, but that's the concept.
Okay. And by doing that, does finance have to vote for that?
In theory, the way the budget resolutions and the budget rules are written, if you can move money within facilities, because it's one division, one department, within the same appropriation level, which in this case is 58220, which is repairs the building, we can just do that. But we never do that. And I went through this with you guys all last year.
That's what I'm getting at, because if I remember correct, we had this discussion. And my problem was because we had a couple of projects which came in quite a bit less than was what was projected, which is good. I said, what about the money? Well, the money will go. And I believe at that time, we'll say that we would make a decision. The board will vote on it. I said, no, I remember at another time, it was just a letter to finance. And pretty much, if there isn't any money left over from a project, basically administration can do pretty much whatever they wanted in the same in the same appropriation. And this has been going on because, I don't know, not to get carried away or what, many years ago we wanted to have everything on a separate line for the bike trails and everything. And a lot of the money, I saw it over the years, from highways, which then they put it towards the bike trails, and they didn't have to come to us, so it was a way to go around. I'm not saying it's this time, but I believe it's wrong. The board should have what to say, but I guess it's would have to change the budget resolution, correct?
Well, I'll tell you, we have never, I ain't the lawyer. But I tell you, yeah, according to the rules, we don't even have to have this letter to finance.
Right.
But we don't want any misconception that we're pulling exactly what you're saying people pull. We don't do that. And we don't think, like, this time of the year, how much money I'm going to have left over next year at this time so I can move it around. We don't have time to do that kind of stuff.
Sorry, I'm sorry not to interrupt you, Jim, and I'm not saying you personal or anything. I'm not blaming anybody, you know, personal or whatever. But I've seen it done, and I don't want to see it at this.
But if you guys were against this kind of thing, I don't think we'd do it. That's why we bring it to you guys. If you have a problem,
but it doesn't come to us. It doesn't come to us, Jim.
What?
It does not come to us.
Oh, yeah, it does. Every single one of these repurposing of money comes to you guys.
No, not to us guys. It just goes to finance. It doesn't come to the
company. Well, we bring it to you for information purposes. We don't
exactly.
Bring it
so we don't have any control. When you say coming to us, yes, you tell us or whatever, but we don't have anything to say. And when I say we, I mean the old board doesn't have anything to say about
it. But I think Jim's point is that, you know, if we were trying to do something underhanded or hide it, then we wouldn't bring it to the board. We bring it here for information purposes. So if somebody really had a problem with it, they could bring it up at finance or to the board and say, hey, you know, I think this something's not right here. These guys are doing something. And so that's why we try to be completely open about it.
Well, and I know this just a discussion because I don't like to see it. No, I brought it up before. I will bring it up again. I'm not accusing anybody, but first, I don't like to see. I think the full board should read. But I understand that it's in the budget resolution. You guys are not doing anything. I just want to bring it up because I will bring it up again. Mm-hmm. And eventually, we might be able to change it to the board level. So it's not your fault. It's our fault for not doing our job and change it with the budget resolution.
No, your point is taken.
And thank you.
It's duly noted.
Thank you.
Supervisor, anything else?
No.
Okay. Supervisor Bowser.
I was very confused by that too, and Jim helped me understand, especially being a new supervisor, that when money is within the department and within their appropriation, that money, according to that budget resolution, can move. And you're right. So if we don't want that for next year, we have to make sure that we modify the budget resolution. Correct? I think I got it.
So to put this all in a nutshell, it's really a courtesy that administration comes before this committee to alert us. It's a courtesy they send a letter to finance, but we being the oversight committee, we get it first before finance gets it. So it's just kind of, it's a bit of housekeeping.
Transparency, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Very well. Anything else on that item to be discussed?
Then with regard to Frank's projects, security modifications we kind of talked about already. The Civic Center campus parking lot, I think folks have seen, it's kind of dark now, but the Madrigano parking lot that's ours, that we call it the Madrigano lot, but the lot across 11th, that's been completely resurfaced and repainted. That was in horrible condition. So that's done. And this parking lot has also been completed with the, as far as paving and striping goes, we're waiting for lights. The lights are supposed to be in, I believe, mid-month. And then we've got some landscaping work to do. Some of the landscaping's been done, but basically it's lights and landscaping to finish that project up, and then it'll be ready to use. So that's that project. And then the KCDC HVAC replacement, that I know that they've met with the contractor. Construction scheduled to start in December, and it's targeted for completion end of March. And then the Kemper water infiltration repairs on the east side of the building, this was just for one section. They were scheduled to be done with that actually by now. They're doing a little extra work, or it's taking them a little longer. They got all the tuck pointing done on the brick part of it, but some of the wood around the windows is taking a little bit more effort. They're still planning on it being done by the end of November. So those are the projects Frank's got going on right now.
Let's just talk about the parking lots for a second. How are they to be administered when they are finished? Is it park at will? Is it assigned? What's it doing?
It'll be assigned, just like this parking lot out here. During the day, they'll have assigned parking, and then at night after 5 o'clock, it's open for anybody.
Perfect. When we say assigned, who are the assignees? Who are?
So basically, Mike goes through and puts a tentative map together and provides it to the county executive to look for and then look at, and then he reviews it with the department heads to make sure that we kind of do it in the most equitable manner. And
when we say equitable, I'd always think that the public should come first and employees should come second. So hopefully the public that needs to utilize this building, street parking, lot parking is taken into consideration. And just like when you go to a other place of business, the employees are a little bit farther back. So I'm hoping that would be the case here.
So the philosophy has been for the past many years, because what was happening is employees were parking in these spots out here that are 1 and 2 hour spots. And there was actually a very elaborate network that was established by some of the employees that managed that. So when the KPD would come around and mark tires, there was a very sophisticated system that people would move cars. It was incredible. So given that those parking spots should be preserved for the public, these spots here have been assigned to employees so that the public parking spots on all the streets are available and not being shanghaied by the employees.
So that's a good first step. I like that. But I would go on record as saying that it should continue in that vein where the employees can walk a little bit farther and the people who patronize this building or the building should have personal preference.
Duly noted.
Because the employees can park in the parking lot there, right? Mm-hmm.
The parking structure.
The parking structure.
Yep. Yes. Yep.
So there's parking
right
for them.
Right. Right. Yeah.
And the other thing is, you mentioned the Michael Grano parking lot there.
Right.
How many cars does that hold?
We end up with like 20?
26, I believe,
26.
Spots.
26.
26?
Yeah.
Yep.
I'll just say one.
Supervisor Belsky.
I think you should assign employees stickers to put on your car, on their car, so that you know if they're employees.
Yeah, I know that we had that at one time before I was here.
Yeah, HR did that. It wasn't very successful, but everybody has their assigned number. And if someone's usually
we'll give
in
them
a spot,
the assigned number on a sticker.
The enforcement goes to the sheriff's department and they get out there and check it out.
I'm just saying it makes it easier.
I see your logic. At the same time, if my truck goes down, you know, I got to bring my wife's van in.
It happens a lot.
Are we allowing then?
Multiple stickers.
Multiple stickers,
sure.
3 number 12.
Yeah, why not?
Well, we can review that. I mean, if you'd like to do at a future meeting where we discuss that, we can agenda it. So,
sure.
Make your request and put it on the agenda.
Okay.
Sure. We can do it.
Sticker request.
Yeah. Anything else for Mr. Martinelli / Mr. Arvin?
If you're considering doing a stickering thing, I would love to hear what worked and what didn't work in the past.
Sure.
Instead of us trying to figure it out on the fly in a meeting.
I agree. There's no point in trying to reinvent the wheel share, and there's already been things that have been proven or disproven. So
absolutely.
Good point. Right, thank you. Well, seeing nothing else, thank you, Mr. Arbor, for your report. And I think it's Mr. Collins' turn.
Ray's doing a fantastic job. Just wanted to continue that a little bit longer. We're almost to the home stretch here. So the first item in front of you is a resolution for a permanent easement granted to Wheat Energies for the repair and replacement of an underground power line within the Kemper Center campus. A little bit of backstory. During the January 2020 storm event with the revetment damage that we had, we were, unbeknownst to us, had the main power line for Kemper Center, solely for Kemper Center, but it's a beefy power line as far as the gauge for that whole entire campus. The revetment basically had some of that power line that was exposed because the original power went right into the revetment where it existed, but with the erosion, the damage that occurred, our highway division this last season when we were redoing the multi-use path actually notified us that they found some of that exposed line. So we immediately got in with an emergency call to Wheat Energies to make sure everything was safe. They verified that the line, of course, needs to be remedied and buried again, but there was no immediate action that was needed per Wheat Energies. But they do need to scooch that line more to the west now that that shoreline is basically non-existent where it was before. So the resolution in front of you this evening is for them to, on their own dime, no cost to us being the county, shift their whole entire Wheat Energies line into within the parking lot. So we shared our future plans for that revetment work. They know where all the existing utilities are, and they'll do an underground bore underneath our parking lot, so no damage, no trenching or anything else to any of our assets. And this is kind of a positive, a silver lining is, we probably would have been on the hook to pay for that when we did the revetment work because that would have been our public utility and project. Now that this is exposed, it's on them to do. So they're doing it holistically and shifting things over on their dime as soon as we get this approved through Public Works, Finance, and the full board will be slated for construction in spring of next year.
Well, kind of an interesting thing. You would think that the power source would come from the west, or come from Third Ave. How does it wind up coming so far to the east? What's the backstory on that?
You can actually see it on one of the attached maps, I believe, of it is off of Third Ave, and it goes directly to that shoreline. So off of Third Avenue, it cuts directly east, and then it goes northbound along that revetment before it goes back in and ties directly into Kemper Center. So it just was shifted, for whatever reason, back in the day, too far east.
To that other the last building.
Not the Faulkner, but okay. It's part of the main Kemper Center campus, but more on that northern side.
So is it buried from 3rd Avenue in, or is it strong and unburied?
It's buried throughout.
Okay. Interesting. Mm-hmm. Well, no, I think that's a fortunate occurrence that we can actually have them pay for that infrastructure. I mean, that could be quite costly. Does it have to go below the frost line?
Yep.
Questions, comments by committee members?
Motion to approve.
Second.
Moved and seconded. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Carries. Thank you, ma'am.
Thank you. And then really quickly, for just some items on the Parks Division report. Kenosha County Veterans Memorial Park, as we all know, phase one improvements of the parkway, honor plaza, trail expansion have been completed and are now open to the general public. Phase two design of those veterans features, including the restroom pavilion, memorial shelters, and front entrance signs, is ongoing for that design work. The restroom pavilion and the front entrance signage are set to be bid level documents later this year, with a bid opening anticipated in the early first quarter of 2022. For Pike River Phase 3, it's just ongoing efforts. It's the last leg of the Petrifying Springs Park section. The request for proposals for design services is anticipated to be released in this year, winter of 21, with design and engineering to occur all of next year. So there's a lot of work that goes into that design. So we'll take all next construction season to work on that design. Petrifying Springs Park Playground number 4 replacement. Design for the Area 4 Playground is anticipated to be done this month, with bids scheduled to be released in late of 21. As far as PETS and UW Parkside Comprehensive Trail Plan, the grading and installation of the helical piles for the pedestrian bridge have been completed. Park staff were actively working with that prefabricated bridge for the next, I'd say, 2 to 3 weeks, getting that one installed. So that should be done by the end of this construction season.
Well, that's really impressive. That's pretty cool.
Excellent. And then Pringle Nature Center, as always, you can see those attached reports. And just a few special events remaining for this season. And that's all I have for this season.
Supervisor Berg.
A couple of things. Veterans Memorial Park on the newer portion. Are we opening up events for the trails and stuff yet?
Yeah, those trails are fully open and accessible, so we would accept any type of special event application to review.
Okay, so start getting your stuff. And I did want to comment, I had a 5K event on Halloween morning at Petrifying Springs, and I mean, I don't have to tell you how wonderful it is that everybody, we had quite a few folks send emails to us to say that they loved the race, how it went over the bridge. They really did not like the big hills, but they know they can't
help you with that one.
But I got a lot of great feedback from folks about how wonderful. We had folks come all the way from Morris, Illinois, to run for that. So they loved it. So thank you for what you all do.
Thank you.
Supervisor Bills.
Of course, I'm going to ask about Kemper Center revetment. Have you heard anything from Senator Baldwin's office? Because I called and they acted like, no, there's nothing in the works for any lakeshore revetment in Kenosha County.
So a couple things. During, I think, was Finance Committee, you asked the same question, and I'll give you the same response, is that when the county executive was with Senator Baldwin shortly after,
right,
he received the notification that it did not make it through the Senate Appropriations Committee with that specific bill. But we're still hopeful of working alongside her office. But there's other areas that we're tapping into for federal assistance, including what I consider the BRIC application through FEMA.
Okay.
I can't tell you exactly what the BRIC stands for.
Okay.
But that one, we're actually gearing up right now. I'm working directly with our grants writer, and that's going to be the deadline of, I think, the end of January of next year. So it's coming up. And we have to reassess cost-benefit analysis because it has to justify the cost of that revetment based on utilities, infrastructure, both campuses with those historic properties. A lot goes into that.
Okay.
But that BRIC application at least makes us eligible for that 75% funding and eligibility. So it's great that the county board approved our matching funds that is sitting there in the reserve for when these opportunities come through. And that's what we're really actively working on with the state as far as the Department of Administration. They're collaborating with us.
But is it FEMA? I'm sorry, is it? So BRIC is FEMA, but the mm-hmm. state is supporting us?
Yeah, it's bureaucracy.
Okay.
It's because if Horace Staples is like our emergency manager mm-hmm. through those services, everything from the state has their own emergency management umbrella, and they only directly tie in from the 72 counties to those emergency manager officers like Horace Staples. So we have to go and rank and file in order to tie into the department administration, and the department administration directly reports to people with FEMA as well. So it's kind of a trickle-down effect of who we have to work with in order to develop those resources and connections, which we currently have.
So are we only talking about Kemper? Is the county representing the entire Kenosha County Lakeshore, including the city?
No, we are strictly talking about Kemper Center with this project, with this BRIC application.
Okay.
Because every application has to deal specifically with the property.
Okay.
And the only people that are eligible is municipalities and government institutions for this application. It does not support private entities through that BRIC application.
Okay.
As far as I understand.
Okay. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Phase 3 on the pipe will take us how far east?
It's about, so every other phase 1 and phase 2 is about 3,100 linear feet. This one's reduced as of right now to get us to the property line of about 2,600 linear feet, so it's a little bit less to get us to that property line between UW Parkside and Petrifying Springs Park. So as it stands right now, without getting the engineers involved, it seems like that would be a nice spot to just stop, get on that property line, and now we can collaborate more with UW Parkside for the next three phases as we go downstream. So it's anticipated.
So there'll be an additional three phases after that on Parkside property.
That is
and just when you take a look at the topography there, Matt, is it as highly erodible / flood prone as Petson has been? How would you comment upon that?
Phase two, in my mind, is probably was the most extensive as far as the severity of drop-off. We had over 60-foot ravines and ledges that were basically just mm-hmm. a severe drop. You don't see that a lot of places, but with the golf course abutting UW Parkside and what I would consider phase four, there's some shelves right there, and it's actually affecting our property as much as it's affecting the UW Parkside. But it's not as severe, but it's still substantial. Mm-hmm. So either what we do with this design is focus on those hot spots, or we can keep on going in a holistic manner, but we really have to let the engineering design dictate that because of wetlands and floodplains. And a lot of the impervious surfaces from UW Parkside also has to be taken into account because if that gushes right into river with
sure,
that runoff.
And so, forth.
So there's a lot of different effects that we can take care of, hopefully with bioretention swales or in the river itself with wetland mitigation and everything that we've been doing inside the park. So there's a lot of opportunity. So we just kind of got to keep on going down that route and see what's advantageous and cost effective.
Well, the whole area is really moving in the right direction. When you think about the mitigation of flood control that's been done currently to this point, and then the opportunities that exist on Parkside property, you know, being adjacent, I mean, it's just timing couldn't be better. So thank you for all your attention to detail. Last thing with Veterans Park before we wind up here. The committee will get a good view of the proposed signage, type, setup, size, the whole thing that will be before for its implementation or approval, correct?
I can bring that to December, if you wish.
Yep.
Just like we've done in the past, I think I included the restroom concepts. It might have been signage included, I can't remember. But I'd be more than happy to include any conceptual renderings.
I think everyone has a certain degree of interest with the aesthetics and how it's going to be presented. So
you bet.
Thank you. Anything else for Mr. Pennell?
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Matt.
So just a few final comments. October was really busy. We had wrapped up a number of high-profile projects. Most recent one was Friday when we had the ribbon cutting for S, but there was Vets Park, there was Pike River Phase 2, there was Highway H by Kroger. So there was a number of big projects that, and there's still a number of significant projects that are going to be in play over the winter. Everybody, as far as the divisions are go, they're all switching over for winter operations, getting ready for that. Remainder of the year, from our standpoint, we spent really kind of, now that the budget is passed, thanks to everyone with the budget this year, we will be working on getting things queued up and squared away as best we can, so when January 1st gets here, we'll have a lot of stuff already prepped and ready to go, either out for bid or get ready to start the design process. We'll get a lot of things set up so that we can hit the ground running at 22. And yeah, pretty much that's it. Just a lot of stuff. It'll be a busy, quick end of the year, I'm sure.
Any questions or comments from Mr. Arvin? Just one thing for Clement real quick. Clement, are we all stocked up on salt? Get as much salt as we need? At the present time. Are we planning on doing bridge deck pre-treats as necessary for weather events? Okay. Just explain briefly to the committee while you have a moment or two what bridge deck pre-treat is.
It just depends on how the weather is panning out. That we're expecting, especially the freezing temperature. We typically go ahead of just slightly a few hours ahead of when we start to heat or when the temperature is going to drop. And then we pre-treat it with liquid salt. And then usually the calcium chloride or magnesium chloride, depending on the situation. So we kind of, apply the liquid and let it sit on the, especially on the bridges, typically on the bridges, because the concrete gets colder faster than the asphalt. And so that's where the ice accumulates when the temperature drops. So we spray them all with the liquid salt. When it gets that cold, then it doesn't get icy too quickly. Or if it does, then it's easy to peel off from the structure. So generally, that's what it is.
It gives the plows a chance to be able to scrape it off before it freezes when it comes down to. That's pretty much it. Other than that, there's been a motion to adjourn.
Second.
Thomas Bell, Burke, and that order. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
You think governance would be so.
Aye. Appreciate everybody's flexibility for tonight.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
How are you?
What happened to the football
team? Man, that was tough. You know, my wife and I went to the game 2 weeks ago.
Yeah.
The first round, and they're playing, I don't even know what the name of the team was.